Executive Committee,
There it is.
Citizen comments. Citizen comments. Citizen comments. Okay. Now I have comments from our youth and governance. Mr. Cavelli, you have anything to say tonight?
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you. Welcome aboard. Any supervisors have any comments, wish to speak out? Well, and I'll reserve mine to the proper allocation. Communications, I currently have none. The approval of the May 20, 2014 minutes.
I'll move the approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
It's been moved by Supervisor Overman, seconded by Vice Chair Bruning. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 We'll go on to item number six. Ordinance one regarding the elimination of Executive Committee and the creation of Judiciary and Law Enforcement Committee table at the 5-2014 meeting. I did table it at that time due to lack of time. Obviously, we had the youth and governance orientation. We ran out of time, and I wanted to give everyone time to speak their piece on that. Anybody wanting to talk on it now before I talk? Or no?
We'll let you start.
Okay. That's fine. I appreciate that. I did look into what Racine did with theirs. As one of the supervisors asked me to do, I did do that. I didn't get to Waukesha yet. But they started theirs out in 2010, and during that period, they met five times. In 2011, they met two times. In 2012, they met three times. In 2013, they met seven times. And in 2014, just one time in May. As far as the length of time in minutes, it varies anywhere from 35 down to 2-minute meetings. So that's what I got from Racine as far as the allocation and use of the Executive Committee. I still feel that I wish to have a Legislative Committee, but it's the will of the board just to continue the way it is. I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem with that. I might revisit it later on during the course of my tenure as chair of this board and make changes as I see fit. But I need to have 2/3 approval, not 50%, 50 plus one, obviously. And I don't see that at this time doing a poll. Around the 23 supervisors total, I don't have the 2/3 that I do need to move my legislative on and shelve the Executive Committee. Be that as it may, I am the chair of the Executive Committee, so I'll run the committee the way I see fit. And that's all I have to say at this point. Supervisor Elders.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have varying opinions on this matter. It was suggested and spoken upon by Supervisor Rose that the prerogative of the chairman is to set things up and run things. Everyone has a different style. I went through, I guess, 16 years without an executive committee here. You know, now we've had one for 4 years. We had a legislative committee that handled those matters. And we'd have a committee of the whole occasionally to handle matters that involved the whole board. So it's surprising to me that we have you're doing your polling, that you have an opinion from a majority that they don't want to see the Executive Committee abolished. The matters that an Executive Committee handled could be easily handled with a Committee of the Whole. We sat here and we listened to reports from Todd Battle more than we heard anything. we, you know, those are fine, but I think that would also be very good for the whole county board to hear.
Just to interrupt you, that's what I'm planning on doing during this tenure, so.
So, and I know that you had said we would have more committees of the whole. So many of our executive committee meetings that I've attended were not necessary. There was very little accomplished at them. We did hear some very important things on economic growth. We didn't attack any, in the past 2 years, any large issues. We did, in the prior 2 years, go through a lot of old ordinances, and that was our task at that time. So my opinion for the county board chairman to want to move things around here, I think that's his choice. And for people that haven't been involved in this executive committee to jump on board and say, no, we shouldn't abolish this, I don't think that they're well informed as to what the chairman wants to do. And he and I have a talk, by the way, about any of this. These are my opinions. So a legislative committee would and could be formed. We have enough board members to do that. I know one of the arguments was it shouldn't be combined with judiciary and law. I just read what I said in the minutes from the last meeting, and I think a chairman of any committee is a leader, and the chairman of judiciary and law could certainly handle that agenda on the legislative agenda. Or we could form a new committee, move members around to a legislative committee. But my feeling is if the chairman of the county board wants to try this, that I'm certainly willing to go along with it. And I still stand by what I said in our last minutes here. It's all up to the chairman and the chairman of the committee. A good chairman can get all these things done. And I think we should make the move. And I think the addition of committees of the whole to inform the whole board on issues such as economic growth. And the majority of the things we spent time on in the last 2 years were just listening to Todd Battle. So I don't, I saw nothing that I wouldn't like the whole board to hear. My opinions.
Thank you. Supervisor Rose.
I think we ought to consider resurrecting that legislative committee idea. That committee formally dealt with state legislation or federal legislation which would directly impact us, among other things. And we've sort of overlooked that. And there is so much legislation that does affect us. The meeting the other night drew the court system to our attention. But the focus of the legislative committee was to, on a rather systematic basis, take a look at legislation that would be affecting the county government. And we've sort of lost that focus. I understand that's part of the executive committee's function here, but it's more of a catch-as-catch-can, just because I don't think it belongs to an executive committee. It always struck me as sort of make work. I view the executive committee, if we are going to have one, as considering policy issues that you want to seek the support of other chairs so that they can urge members of the board to support. That's the way I view executive committee, but I think the executive committee idea is really something that the chairman of the board has to like to or support, because it's his or her committee. If you're a chairman and you want to have an executive committee and you want to have an agenda, that's fine. But if you don't like that idea, I think that's fine too. I don't think there's another purpose to it. And I don't see considering legislation as our function. I suppose the Judiciary Law Committee can do that, but it's sort of a tag on. It's not something that they have been doing very regularly. And perhaps that's because there's, that is a big agenda itself if you really want to do the job correctly.
Thank you. Supervisor Brunning?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back in 2012, when this committee was formed, shortly after, actually there were, it was done twice, there was an evaluation done by UW Extension, and the six-month report, which was required at the time in order for us to branch off with the executive committee, came back and it showed basically that that the same work was being done, that there wasn't any, people weren't really excited about the executive committee, and this is coming from supervisors that had anywhere between 10 to 16 or more years of experience on the board. A lot of people thought that it was less effective to have an executive committee. Very few of them thought that it was more effective to have the executive committee. So when you look at what former Supervisor Huff was doing when he was in touch with Washington and Madison all the time and bringing those reports back and getting those resolutions to be sent out there, that's what that committee should be doing. And that doesn't belong with us.
I agree with you. I should have digged a little deeper to get that report. Thank you.
If we're going to bring back the legislative committee, I would suggest leaving it as a standalone committee and maybe opening up to volunteers who want to have that extra committee instead of assigning people. Those that truly want to sit on that committee and do that legislative work.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, Corp Counsel, one person, two committees tops, and then committee chairs are just chairs, and that's it, correct?
Under the current ordinance, yes. You can only serve on two committees, and I don't believe a committee chair can serve on another committee.
Committee chair can't serve on the finance committee.
Is that okay?
That's how I remember.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So they can actually go on this too.
Right. Sure. Committee chair could be.
I like the idea of the volunteer aspect. That way I don't sit there and say, I want this. They want to. Mm-hmm. That's a good way of opening it up.
I'm sorry, you're right. And the finance chair can't serve on another committee.
There will be funding. Trust me.
Supervisor.
Yeah, I think that the main reason for tabling is, like you said, we ran out of time and there were comments that are in the minutes of people that were concerned that we hadn't really, didn't allow enough time to thoroughly vet it.
I've got my sleeping bag, so I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that?
No.
I just got off of 48, so I'm good.
No, my feeling on it is I don't have any. I'm pretty much agree with the report. I don't really think the executive committee is necessary. I didn't think that lumping it in with judiciary and law was necessarily the way to go either, which is what the proposal before us was. As you said, it was like a tag along with it. With a good chairman like Supervisor Huff was, yeah, the legislative committee can be a very effective committee. I think it should be another, would you call it a standalone committee or a standing committee? A standing committee. And my thought of it was to pick of the different committees that have seven people, such as Human Services has seven, Judiciary and Law has seven. What other one has seven?
Finance. Administration.
Finance and administration. Take two from. You take two from two off of Judiciary and Law, put them on this new legislative committee. Take two off of Human Services and put them on this new legislative committee. They still would be the oversight for Corporation Council, as well as policies, as well as legislative. And then take somebody that's on finance would serve on two committees, you know. So you'd have your five committee. The only committee then that would have more than five would be finance. That's how I would do it, and you wouldn't. I guess I'm not saying you would. You could see if you have any interest. The only chink in the armor here is you'd have to be comfortable with appointing one of those five people as the new chairman. And I like the concept of having, you know, Supervisor Hallman brought it up in his email position or whatever that was. I like the idea of having another chairman. I mean, it's just another person, you know, taking on some leadership responsibility and having, you know, I mean, having a future potential person to move forward, possibly to be chairman of the county board.
I agree with all what you said there. The one part I liked about what Vice Chair Bruning brought up was the volunteer aspect, due to the fact that those people probably have more of a tendency to want to be on that committee, want to do something versus just being there. And I get that with the other committees where I make assignments. Some people don't like where I put them, and this, that happens to every chairman. I don't care who you are or whatever. You're never going to please 100% of the people. I try to, but it doesn't happen. Appreciate those comments. Vice Chair Bruning.
I would caution taking anyone off of finance, though, because then you have six, and you're not going to have a...
No, I
didn't.
What
he's saying is serve both. But I think as... Corp Council stated that you could serve both on finance,
yes.
Right? Well, we did cover that.
Okay.
Some one person, you'd still have seven on
right.
finance,
okay.
But one
would
one of the seven would also serve on legislative.
Supervisor Alderman.
One more thought. I know I did it when I was county board chairman, and other chairmen have done it. This would not take away the chance for a county board chairman to have a meeting of the chairman. That's what we used to call it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what the executive committee basically has been. But I remember meetings and then people getting bent out of shape because we had a meeting of the chairman and they wanted to come, you know, you had to let them come. But you still can have a meeting of the chairman. And when there's specific items that the chairman wants to get through to mm-hmm. all the committees and what you would call the leadership. So you wouldn't be taking that chance away at all. Or the chance of having more committees of the whole, which I think are much better. And you always will have people that don't like what committee they're on. So
right.
Setting this up, I mean, I had a guy come to me and say, "What were you thinking?" Exact words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I didn't put him on the finance.
Mine weren't as pretty as those. That was
yeah. Well, I think there was something after that. I think we have plenty of opportunities for meetings and for the leadership to meet.
Supervisor Hall.
So, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with everything that I've heard so far. I think I might be the last surviving committee member that served while Supervisor Huff was chair of legislative. That's actually how I cut my teeth, so to speak, on doing this county board thing. It was a lot of fun. It was very exciting, and it's work that I miss. You know, we had, who was it? WCA come and talk to us about the state budget process. There's no reason our legislative committee couldn't have facilitated that. We know next to nothing about the federal budget process. That's something we've never touched, and that's something that happens on a yearly basis. And there's no reason our legislative committee couldn't facilitate that. And there's a whole host of other issues, you know, how the Affordable Care Act affects your funding for jails and what that means, how immigration is going to affect counties. I mean, there's a whole long list of things, and that's just from the NACO side. We haven't even touched the WCA stuff, the conversations around RTAs, which are sort of ebbing and flowing and moving, transportation funding, which is a major issue. So, you know, there's a lot there to work with that is not related to the court system, not related to the sheriff, not related to the jail, that needs its own specific attention, although some of those elements might be embedded in those conversations. I guess what I haven't heard is I haven't heard anybody want to amend anything. So, you know, I don't know how favorable folks would be to doing that, although it sounds like we are.
We're fully vetting it. That's what we're giving everybody an opportunity to speak, and that's what you're doing.
But seeing as it sounds like we're all on the same page, nobody's actually made a motion, which is kind of interesting. So thank you. That will conclude my comments.
A quick question to Corporation Council. Can, you know, do you have to wait to a reorganization meeting, or can we reorganize, can the chairman reorganize and have a new legislative committee, and what's required?
Well, certainly, if sort of a complicated question, the easy answer to it is if by virtue of amending the ordinance that sets forth the rules and organization for the county board and the committee structure, if all of a sudden there is a new committee, then certainly the chair will be able to populate that committee.
Okay. So ultimately, though, the reason why I haven't made a motion is because the chairman would have to make, you know, decide who of, let's say you decide to wait for volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Nobody comes.
Or you might have to structure on how you want the volunteer, where do you want the volunteers to come from or whatever. And, but you have to pick then from the volunteers, the chairman, you know, and maybe of the five.
You have some choice in the matter, right?
But of the, well, you don't have to go with the volunteer idea either. That's just somebody's suggestion. That's why I don't know that we have that much consensus, except for the fact that maybe we should have a legislative committee. So I'll make a motion that we have a legislative committee. Just leave it at that.
And not an executive committee?
Have a standing committee, which is the legislative committee, and we won't have an executive committee, yes.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Supervisor Noble suggests having a legislative committee and shelving the executive committee. We got a second by Supervisor Hallman. Supervisor Rose has a comment.
All right. Here's the way I, in light of what I've heard from supervisors both here as well as those who are not on the executive committee, I think what would be supportive would be standing committees just as we have them now. And if you look at your ordinance number one, it would read as follows. The standing committees of the county board should be as follows: finance, administration, judiciary and law, public works and facilities, planning, development, extension, education committee, human services committee, F would be executive committee, G would be legislative committee. Then you incorporate the former language, and I would leave that up to the Corporation Council to extract the old legislative language and put that in a definition section as you have the definitions here for each one of the committees. And then I would reinstitute under F at page 3. I would redefine the executive committee as follows. All matters relating to policies of the county board and other matters as are deemed necessary and appropriate by the county board chair. In other words, it have a very, very broad direction. The county board chair does whatever he wants or she wants with the executive committee. Has a very broad definition. As to the issue of how you become a member or chair of the legislative committee, I don't see that that committee ought to be any different than any of the other committees. In other words, the chairman makes the appointments and makes the recommendation as to the chair and vice chair of the committee, and we proceed that way. I don't find a rational reason why we would have volunteers on that committee and then appointed people on everybody else. And how do you defend that? I don't see what the policy rationale is for the volunteers.
So you had eliminated executive committee altogether, if I read you right?
No, I included it. No, I was reading off how would 2.05 read? A, B, C, D, E, and F would be executive committee, not stricken. G would be legislative committee.
Why? What's the rationale for keeping executive committee? Just what you said there is a broad
Well, I think it's there, and it can be used in the discretion of the chairman.
So in other words, like if...
You want to have one meeting a year, you want to have a dozen meetings a year, it's up to you.
Or none.
It depends upon the chair. It's there if you want to use it. We don't have to debate it every year or every term, and with it as you please.
Yeah, I don't want this to be a debate for the future, sure.
Yeah, that's why I think it has very broad definition. It's defined as you define it.
Supervisor Noble.
Well, he makes a good point on that, because then when and if you ever did want to have a meeting of your chairman's, you actually have a defined, you have it defined in your this policy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're only going to do one a year, maybe one in one
maybe
or two
quarterly
years.
Maybe every maybe, month
maybe nothing
gets thrown yeah. on right.
You know, if some big issue comes along, like another casino thing, that you know you may have more than you would have in any other year. I don't know.
Good positive thinking there.
Go to Joe first.
Well, at the chairman's pleasure, I recognize I'm not a member of the committee, but if I could make a suggestion based on what I'm hearing, if the sense of the committee is to shift the legislative duties that had previously been the legislative committee's responsibilities and then were shifted to the new executive committee when it was created, mm-hmm. back into a standalone executive committee, but keep some form of body made up of the committee chairs that would handle, as Supervisor Rose indicated, matters relating to policy and rules of procedure for the county board and other matters as deemed proper and necessary by the board chair, perhaps doing away, or I shouldn't say doing away with, perhaps changing the name of that committee then from executive to policy and rules, which I understand historically this board had, is perhaps a suggestion that I would just
better
throw out.
For that.
Well, as the proponent here, Mr. Chairman, that I don't like.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, I want to hear why you don't like
it. The reason I don't like it is because I don't view it as a policy and rules committee. It's an executive committee. You may want to call a meeting together to say, well, this is my vision, and how are we going to, in the next 2 years, get there. Maybe you're not that kind of chairman. Maybe you're the kind of chairman that wants to talk about nuts and bolts. How are we going to cut the budget? Okay. It's your definition. It's your ideas. You are the chair, so define it. I don't want to have policy and rules. Then we're going to talk about policy and rules. I don't want to talk about policy and rules here.
You may have to if that's what he wants to talk about.
Exactly. That is true.
Thanks for
just pointing that out.
Yeah, or maybe you're the kind of chairman that everybody else, every time we come here, report to us. That is the way it sort of was handled under the two previous chairmen. I didn't care about those meetings myself. They were too long, they were too windy, and nothing substantive happened.
I think you're kinder than I am.
Yes.
You didn't care. I used other words.
Supervisor Holman.
I'll wait till my
Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two issues with keeping the executive committee. One, we've already discussed you could still call a chairman meeting right. at any time that you wanted to. The other one is if you have the executive committee, that kind of screws up my youth and governance program, because do you put youth on there at the beginning of the term? Do you put them on there and then say, well, you're not going to meet? Or you just not have them appointed to that committee? So then each time you have a new chairperson of the county board, you're going to have to change the rules of how many youth you're going to be able to interview and appoint to those committees. Right. And that's going to get confusing.
Well, the
supervisor.
Well, I don't think that's a reason, but I appreciate your thinking on that. But you certainly can use those two people in other ways, besides the attendance of either the one monthly meeting of the executive committee or the annual banquet of the executive committee. If you only want to meet once, you can also have these interns work more closely with the chair and the vice chair. you know, that's another way you can give them introduction into what is going on. You know, you can incorporate them into some sort of function. It's certainly possible. So I still think that they would have usefulness as being part of the executive team to show them what do you do as a leader of this kind of board.
Supervisor Holman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So looking at this, the only thing that was not previously a duty of the former legislative committee was economic development. That Caba used to report to finance. Outside of that, everything else that has been given to the executive committee was the duties of what used to be the legislative committee, and therefore I think should go back. Having said that, you know, if the desire of folks here is to have retain some facsimile of an executive committee for strategic planning purposes, that's fine. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But certainly I think Caba should report to that in that case, because I would figure that would be part of the framework of doing that. I'm a little curious here down the table to our newly minted youth and governance member as to what he thinks of his fellow interns and how this might shake out, if he chooses to comment. Thank you.
It's up to him. Floor is yours.
Not to put you on the spot or anything.
Not like you just did with the bright lights.
I guess there was, Vice Chairman Rings brought up a point that you'd have to decide every year, yeah. And even if you do have more people, I guess that's good. But if they don't meet very often, for the meetings that they won't receive that aspect of government, they'll just receive internship type things.
I agree with your comments. Supervisor Alverman.
Well, I would say there's a simple solution on the youth and governance thing is that the executive committee just wouldn't happen.
That could be. Yeah.
And then right. and if we do this shift mid-year, then naturally the governance would be with the legislative
committee. Right.
So I don't think that's, I know that we want to make sure all bases are covered, but I don't think that's a big deal here. Because we probably wouldn't meet.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Supervisor Noble.
If we decide to keep the executive committee, I think I would change it and put policy and rules and legislative stuff all back with legislative and with executive. Just I like your words, strategic planning, right. and other things that the chairman of the county board may deem appropriate. Just call it strategic planning and other things that the chairman. So then, if it meets. You got any opportunity to have, call a meeting of the executive committee to discuss it, and then all the old stuff that used to be the legislative committee would be the legislative. The question is what are you going to do with Caba? Go back to having Caba report to finance, or are you going to have Caba just report to the county board in total?
I talked a little bit to Mr. Battle about this prior to the trying to implement this anyway, and he thought that it still has value in reporting to finance directly to that committee, and liked the idea of the whole body as well. So he was on board reporting to both. I know for those seven people it's going to be hearing it twice, repetitious, but that's the way things go sometimes. It's not a perfect world we live in.
Supervisor Hall.
Thank you. I actually have a question here to Supervisor Rose. It sounded like what you were talking about was a chairman that would sort of develop a strategic plan. Is the reason for having something like that codified in writing so that person understands that they need to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I get that.
That's important. I'm sorry, I missed that.
The purpose behind having it sort of phrased as a strategic plan, having that in writing, is so whoever he or she may be as county board chair understands that they need to do that. I mean, it's left up to them as to how they want to execute that, but they're aware that that's part of their duties.
Exactly.
some people are more skilled at doing that than others. But, you know, if it's part of your job, you got to find a way to make it happen.
Sink or swim?
Yeah.
What about thoughts on implementation? I'll start with you, Supervisor Noble. If we do make these changes and so forth, give me your thoughts on implementation.
Well, I kind of agree with Terry. I don't like the idea of the volunteer. I think you could take volunteers, but I would implement it. You could ask for who is interested in it, okay? But in the end, I'd go back to what I suggested already. You'd pick two from, take two off judiciary and law and make judiciary law back to a five-person committee. Take two off of health and human services and make that a five. So now you got four on legislative, and then one from finance would make up your fifth, and then you then would, the two that of the five you pick, you have to be comfortable for which one you want to make the chairman. That to me would be the most, what's the word I'm looking for? The smoothest transition without messing with any of the other committees that are already five-person committees. And we're only 1 month into your term, so we don't really have, a lot of people ingrained in a committee yet, I wish they had, I didn't really look at who the people are that are on the seven committees, but it really isn't, that wouldn't be my call anyways. It's yours who you'd be comfortable appointing.
Right. Supervisor Rowe?
How would you implement? I think that if we adopt it, you ought to appoint the people.
But I'm talking about the idea of what he mentioned about pulling people off other committees and then shortening up the size of those committees. From 7 to 5.
Well, it's just part of the nature of starting up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't view it as a problem.
Supervisor Byrne?
I don't think it'll be a problem.
No, I don't either. And if there's somebody who wants to serve on three committees, God bless them.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know? That's why I suggested the volunteer thing.
I thought said
when
you can't.
When you're the chairman and the vice chairman, you serve on, I remember, you'll be at five committee meetings in a month, so that's not a huge issue. And
I think you said you can't, though.
Not on three.
I mean, I know one person in this room right now that's going to volunteer,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be fantastic on the committee. So that's up to how they can set their time. I think it's awesome.
I don't necessarily know that you have to pull from other committees and make those smaller to get what you need. I think the idea about asking folks to volunteer was interesting, simply because it presents itself as a new opportunity that wasn't available, at the start of the term for people to consider when they were asked, perhaps where would you like to serve,
mm-hmm.
knowing that they may not necessarily be there. When someone says, this is where I'd like to be, when you look at, where do you want to be? Well, I'd like to be human service. I'd like to be judiciary and law. I'd like to be PDIC. You're essentially saying, where would you like to volunteer? But they're full well under the knowledge that they may not get that. They may be assigned elsewhere. So that may be an issue of semantics. I don't know. But I certainly don't think you have to pull from other committees necessarily to make up that one. I know that when we made the change, because it used to be five members per committee, that was something I was very skeptical of. Because it read to me as, what is it that you want to do, that you want to stack the deck for one committee versus another? What's the agenda here? What's being pushed and driven? Because there was no more equality. It used to be five members per committee, and that was done away with. So that's always made me a little bit nervous. But like I said, I don't think you have to pull from those to make the one. You can do what you always do, make the ask. See who steps up to the plate, assess the skill set as necessary, because you want people who are going to be passionate and committed, and appoint as necessary.
Because right now I've got all the chairmen in place that I want, and then two people serve on one committee, and to take that back, all of finance, all those members serve on one, all seven. And then there's seven there, and then there's two people outside of that serve on one. And then you have all your other chairs, obviously, serve on one.
Yeah,
where I'm at with numbers.
Yeah, I would love to do it, and I'll tell you right now, at the end of July, I'm going to have a stack of stuff like this when I come back from New Orleans from NACO. So I'm already ready to go.
Wow. You weren't the one I was talking to.
I thought he was.
No.
Anybody else have any more comments on this? How I want to put this thing forward?
I do believe we have a motion, though.
Can we restate that motion for you, please?
We had his motion and my proposal. His motion is really the only one on the floor, I believe.
So Supervisor Noble has a motion on the floor, and you had a proposal.
Yeah, because his was to eliminate the executive committee. Mine was to keep it going.
Well, I will modify my motion just a second, you know, to go along with his proposal. I do like the idea, though, to keep policy and legislative, though, with. And I don't think that was not part of the motion. That's part of what you're.
That was a discussion.
That was all discussion. So the motion, all I said was eliminate executive and replace it with legislative. So I'll modify.
You have a second here. Yeah.
So if the second would agree, I would say to do that, keep the executive in place for the purposes.
Strategic planning.
Yes, I think if you're going to define the executive committee, you define it in two ways. One, to deal with those subjects in the discretion of the chair. And second, for the strategic planning for the greater good of Kenosha County. And then
I'm fine with that.
Under the definition of what is the existing executive committee,
yeah.
Take the economic development part and give that back to the finance committee. The Office of Corporation Counsel, give that back to the legislative committee.
Which it was before, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
I believe that's it.
And policy and rules would go back to legislative.
Yes, and policy and rules would go back to legislative.
Which has been traditionally correct.
Yeah. So you'd have that new definition for legislative. You'd have a new definition for finance. And this new expanded definition for legislative. We wouldn't change the appointment process at all.
Right.
And I think we should also include under the executive committee to meet at the discretion of the chair. So it's well known right up front. It's not necessarily a monthly meeting. It can be what you make it. It can be an annual meeting. It can be a monthly meeting. Quarterly meeting.
Like you said, by the discretion of the chair.
Yeah. Now, then you would change the language here in that page, Joe. I'm glad I don't have to do this.
We're going back and forth. I've got to slow down a little bit because the pens are running out of ink.
Yeah. At page 3, number 3, that language would have to be changed to standing committees shall consist of 7, right? Or 6. So let's see how many we got here. 7.
I'm sorry. Say again. What? 3.
Page 3, number 3.
Page 3, number 3.
Here at the bottom. Committees? Committee assignment?
Committee assignment, yes.
It says there shall be 5 standing committees?
No, this says that you have to have 5 to 7 members.
Oh. Okay.
Are you through there, Supervisor Rose?
Yes, sir.
Like a supervisor.
Okay. Page 4, you'd have to have that G back in. Go.
Right, yes.
I think that takes care of all of them.
Yeah.
Supervisor.
That sounds good and reasonable to me, so I changed my motion to that.
To adapt to what Supervisor Rose says. Now we got the second here wishing to talk on what Supervisor Rose just digested. Supervisor Hallman.
It's not that I disagree. It's not that it's bad. It's just that it's long and tedious. You could have avoided all of that by simply amending the duties of county board chairman to say that, you know, the county board chair can meet, call, convene for the purposes of strategic planning as he or she may deem necessary. Boom. Done. That way we don't have to have another committee. We don't have to do all this other stuff. It would have been very simple. One or two lines of text would have solved all of that. But we just made this so incredibly heavy. It's not that it's terrible. I love it. I think it's brilliant. I would just love to simplify it in that fashion. It's killing me to hear this. I love it. Mentally, I'm excited. But let's make it small.
Well, you signed lawyers to do it.
That's right. Make it really long.
And I guess I want to point this out, too, while I'm here. You know, I was trying to go and pull up on our website what the duties of the county board chairman are, which, of course, would be in our Code of General Ordinances. It's not active on the site. It's not active at all. So, you know, we're going to have to talk to IT about that because we should have been able to access that so that I could give you something concretely about what that would look like. I'm really sorry about that. But just...
Terry doesn't know how to do that.
I've defined it here. I think I'm satisfied. Yeah.
Once we vote here, it is.
But that, and that goes back
he'll,
to that
he'll
goes,
define it all. But that goes, we can revise it.
That goes back to what Supervisor Overman said about saying that, you know, we could meet as committee chairs at the chairman's discretion, chairwoman's discretion, that it doesn't have to be something necessarily written out. It avoids the issue that we have with youth and governance. It's just little, small language. I started feeling like I might have been in the state assembly. I wanted to bang my head against the table. You know, I love it. It's great. But let's make it small and tight. That's all.
Small. Keep it simple, Joe.
Well, he's going to define the language, and I think there have to be some changes, and we can redefine it when it comes back here.
Yeah. Supervisor Hallman.
But that also means that it won't say executive committee. That's why I asked you if your desire was for the county board chair, whoever he or she may be, to realize that that's part of their duties, then that's where that really should go so that we can avoid all these other issues that we're having.
Well, no, I wanted it to be a standing committee because I think if you propose this, that we're eliminating the executive committee, this thing's going nowhere.
But to have it
under the county board,
to have it under chairman's duties, does not absolve whoever the chair is of fulfilling that function. I mean, if you want, say that they'll convene on a quarterly basis. That'll give you really great, you know, timely economic stuff from CABA. That stuff drops in a quarterly fashion anyway. That'll be there since they're going to be the ones reporting. The finance and there too. Mm-hmm. Send them both places.
I'm happy with the way I've defined it. I'm happy with it.
So.
I understand it.
We have what Doug proposed originally, which was a kind of amended to, which
right.
Doug, Supervisor Noble approved what Supervisor Rose stated. Now your second's in play right now, whether or not you agree to all that, or you're going to abstain your second. I'm going to look for another second, or how are we going to do this?
Can we play rock, paper, scissors?
If you don't, if he doesn't want to change, then we'd have to vote the first one up or down and start all over.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think he's agreed to what I proposed, and I'll second it.
No, we have a motion.
The second would have to
agree.
All right, Dan, let's shrink this like you were saying, either second or Dalton or one of us. So.
Yeah.
Go. I honestly would prefer that we shrink it, so I'm going to withdraw the second. Love the ideas, but
right.
I just...
I'll second.
Good.
And second it, okay?
All right.
We can't do it that way, though, can we?
Sure.
Don't we have to vote down the first one if the second doesn't agree to...
Well, I think if the second has been withdrawn, then there is no second to the motion.
Oh,
there has
okay.
to be a second to the motion.
Then I make the motion. I make the new motion. Then.
And I second it.
Okay.
The new motion being what I just defined. Okay.
So everyone on board with all that?
Yep. Sure. You got
okay.
the votes on it?
I'm going to ask for a vote. I'm going to start with the youth and governance. How do you vote on that? Did you decipher all that?
Well,
would you be in favor of that? It'd be a yes. If you're not in favor, a no.
You can ask the maker to restate it.
No.
In simple terms.
Don't do that.
Well, I mean, I believe there's a lot of words said, and I think that it could be simplified, so no.
Okay, there's a no. By our youth and government. Supervisor Noble.
Yes.
Supervisor Rose. Vice Chair Bruning.
No.
Supervisor Alderman.
Yes.
Supervisor Hallman.
Yeah, but only because the rest of you wanted it.
And see, I voted no. I think it should be simpler.
Super, I don't see how this can get any simpler.
Yeah.
We'll fix
super,
it.
Yeah. The chairman votes aye. All
right. Okay, so going forward, clearly the what is in the packet no longer reflects the will of the committee. I can redraft and... I guess my question procedurally is, do you want me to run it past you, Mr. Chairman, before it's included on the board agenda? Do you want me to send it to all of the chairs, the members of this committee?
Well, I think you should send it to all these people here.
658-8550, I think, right? Or is it 653? Your phone number.
My phone number?
Yeah.
Is that 658-8550?
I said 85.
Oh.
That you wouldn't support it on the floor then because of that?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, I just want to make sure that's clear.
I support the idea.
Just
not the long expanded, drawn out.
I will do my best to be concise.
Okay. If he can simplify it, then I'll vote yes.
Well, let's simplify it so we get unification. I'd rather have it come in that way. Do you want to restate your vote now? We can do it now before this thing closes up.
Then I'll vote yes.
Okay. It's unanimous. Unanimous. Well, I wanted to get
out of
that.
Oh, the social pressure was heavy.
All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for your insight on that particular matter.
Jumble. The simple stuff.
Ms. Haney and Mr. Carmel, I appreciate your
that.
Fix it later.
All right. We'll move on to resolution, or item number 7, excuse me, resolution 1 from Supervisor Rose to amend the state statutes to allow the counties to address the issue of minimum wage. Supervisor Rose.
All right. Right now, the counties don't have the authority to address that issue at all. The state statute specifically prohibits it, and that was... a change in the law from a number of years ago when Governor Doyle made a compromise with the Republican legislators to take that power away from the counties. Counties did have that authority, but that changed, and now only the state does. So that's one of the issues here. That doesn't mean the county has to make a change, and what is appropriate here might not be appropriate someplace else. That is part of the resolution. The second part of the resolution is the urging of the state legislature to increase the minimum wage. There was an interesting article this week in the Wall Street Journal, which was titled that Wall Street, certain members of Wall Street were promoting the idea of increasing wages because they see that the recovery is slower than was anticipated because people's wages have not increased. There have been another number of articles written on that very subject, that one of the reasons why retail sales have not increased and are pretty flat is because people's incomes in general have not increased. Of course, that's a little broader than talking about minimum wage, but the minimum wage is indeed minimum at 7 1/4 or $14,500 a year. So I haven't pegged a figure in this. It's merely an expression of the board to the legislature to act in a positive fashion in revising upward that minimum wage. So this is exactly the kind of thing that the legislative committee would be dealing with, if they so chose.
I.e., why I want to bring it back. Supervisor Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the maker of the resolution, one question. What was the method of enforcement?
I mean, right now, you know, if there's an issue, the wage and hour division inside of the State Department of Workforce Development handles that. When the counties could set it, who was the authority in terms of enforcing the law? There were issues. Same people?
Well, that's a good question. I can't. My guess is the district attorney, I believe, under current and former law, was the enforcer. Am I correct on that, Joe?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's the way the law used to be, and I have not seen the district attorney bring an action like that in my memory. But I believe the former law was that the district attorney did. I still think that is the existing law.
Did any county ever?
Not that I'm aware. I don't think any county ever. Yeah,
did.
I've never heard of it, but they did have that authority.
Supervisor Alderman, sorry.
You know, I would definitely go along with sending this to a vote. Personal opinion, I mean, if we ever decided to do something like this, it would take a lot more than just a little bit of the debate we've ever had, because any county that would change the minimum wage would more likely be cutting their throat if the rest of them didn't. I'd much rather see a statewide minimum wage, but I can agree that a county can have the right, so I wouldn't vote against this, but I certainly would never want to be an island surrounded by Waukesha, Racine, Walworth, and that, and us go and do it. So that would be the death of many of us.
Supervisor Holm?
I think there's good justification for counties to be able to set the minimum wage. If you particularly look at housing costs, there's a great difference between ourselves and Racine. In many of the market analyses, Kenosha is combined along with Gary, Indiana, as well as Chicago. If you look at La Crosse, their prices are heavily influenced by the Twin Cities area. You know, if you go outside of Milwaukee, West, you know, northern portions of the state are really completely different than Dane County, than La Crosse County, than Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha, because of where they're located. I mean, you can spend $450 a month here. You know, it gets you maybe a studio if you're lucky. You go to Racine, there was a point in time not too long ago, you could have been a condo owner, you know, or at least rented to own. Which was never the case here because our housing costs were so much higher. So because of that variance throughout the state and the difference in population densities, there is good reason for counties to have the ability to set the minimum wage on their own. Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to comment on that resolution? Okay, we'll take a vote on it. We'll start up with the youth and governance. How do you feel on that?
Yes.
Yes, Paul. Supervisor Noble?
I'm torn on this one, but I kind of agree with Dennis. I probably don't mind having, I just want to clarify, I don't know that I would ever vote to do it if we're the only county in our area, but I would be okay with having the right to do it. I suspect it would be turn out like it was before. No county would ever do it. But I'll say yes.
Yes, Supervisor.
Yes,
Supervisor. Vice Chair Brown. Yes.
I will vote for the right to do it.
Right to do it, Supervisor Hall.
Yes.
I'll vote for it. It passes. Did you have your hand up?
I did.
What would you like to say?
Well, you already voted on it. I guess I have a couple issues with it.
You got to make sure I see. I apologize.
I know you. Whatever I say, I think you're going to vote anyways, but. When I look at the you look at what is stated in this thing, the resolution, it states here that this hasn't been looked at. It says the blanket prohibitifies in the face of bedrock principle the right of citizens to their elected representatives to enact legislation at all levels of government. Well, on January 9th, 2014, Bob Wirch, Corey Mason, Eric Gingrich, Nikita Harris brought it to a minimum wage in front of the state legislature. Okay, they wanted to go to 10 an hour. On March 18th in the state assembly, they had well over 5 hours discussion on this. Our representative Peter Barca was given unanimous consent to speak four times on the issue. So, just to say it's being ignored is not right. I mean, our representatives have spoken highly about this at the state level. The other part of this resolution states that they want to give us as a county the right to do that if they don't do it. Well, they're never going to do that. Not for the people that are in charge right now. Will not do that. They will not allow us to do that, guaranteed. So we're going two ways. One, we're doing something that I believe has really been looked at. The second, we're going to a place that we're not going to get anyway. So the third part I'm making is, why are we tipping our hand to employers in this area that we're going to really look at the wages that we're trying, that we're going to tell you the wages that are going to be the minimum wage around here, and you have to make your decision on whether or not you want to leave our county, come to our county, when that should be done at the state level. We're putting ourselves against other counties. What happens if Waukesha doesn't do it? I think you mentioned this. They could say, don't go to Kenosha. They're going to mandate you got 10 an hour. We'll just keep you at 7 and a quarter for the people that are low rated or for your lower income employees. We spent a lot of time with CABA bringing in great jobs. We have this kennel situation, though. They're going to pay tremendous wages, and there's 600 new jobs coming to this, they said, in the next 3 years. And they're doing this with Gateway to teach them how to be to work at this place. They're going to be making $40,000 a year. We should be encouraging that than telling people, mandating that you pay these people more money at a minimum wage. What about the guy that's sitting at Gateway that needs to work at McDonald's for 7 and a quarter as he gets his good paying position at Kennel, but he has to learn how to do these good jobs? But he needs some kind of income in the meantime. These low wages, although we're never meant to be life supporting or keep you going, never meant that way. And I think if we can argue a lot about that, but I think this resolution does us no good. Forget the minimum wage piece, because it's not going to happen at the state level, and we're tipping ourselves to our employer groups in this area for no reason. So, I mean, that's my feeling on this thing, and I'll bring that to when this goes to the big board. I don't know if they'll think about that, but that was my 2 cents. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Holman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hear you. I understand. To an extent, I agree. One of the things that's been a problem in recent years for our county is actually a revolving door of employment. So we get folks, they train them, they get placed, and they'd say, wow, I've got these great marketable skills, and then realize that they could go to Racine or Waukesha or elsewhere and be paid a lot more. That was in the private sector. We've had a similar situation in the public sector, particularly with our nurses at Brookside, which is why we had to make some adjustments for them as an employee group that we did not necessarily make for others. But I think even having said that, there's, I think, a difference between, you know, the new mom who's maybe 28, 29 years old with her first kid, who's got a college degree, who maybe she majored in history. She couldn't necessarily become a teacher because some stuff went on over there. So now this is what she's doing. And she's been doing it for much longer than she wants to be. And, you know, going and necessarily working in a factory isn't necessarily something she wants to do. Maybe not be a viable option for one reason or another. So they're two different sets of folks in some respect.
I don't think, are you the minimum wage? I'm sorry.
We gotta go one way or another. Right, yeah. We let you speak, and he's not done speaking yet.
So I hear you. You know, when it comes to job training and trying to be on the forefront of that, we've actually been really great about that. That's one of the things about our workforce development board. You know, we're in there with Racine and I think Walworth, if I recall correctly. In terms of making good use of state and federal money to do that. And we've been much more successful than our other two partners, much more so. It's got the Racine County executive scared out of his mind. You know, we got one of his own mainstay companies coming here to expand and not in his county, which is just a stone's throw away. So
you know, we're working on both ends here. And I think that's what needs to be acknowledged.
Another thing that Supervisor Hallman brought up that I think needs to also be addressed is Supervisor Alderman could attest to this better than me, is we made adjustments in our public works also with our wages for retaining those people. We also did that in HVAC and our electrician. We also made adjustments there because we're losing people. People weren't coming here. They're going elsewhere. So adjustments are made all over the place, and I think that needs to be understood as well. Supervisor Rose had...
You know, let's not forget the fact that under our high-impact fund, we do tell people what the minimum wage should be. We tell them they in order to qualify, they have to pay at least $15 per hour for a certain number of people in order to get that money and be a forgivable loan. And if they don't, then their repayment to the county. So these aren't no strings attached. And when other states and counties around the country do it, they do have strings attached. So we are doing exactly that. This is directed toward the very lowest paid people. And we have many, many of them in Kenosha County. And the impact of that is ripples throughout this county with the wages. And what happens when you have all these low-income people? You do as you have in this county, one-third receiving food stamps. You have more people receiving Medicaid. We have more people on social welfare programs. I want to take them off of those programs. This is a start in that direction. So one can talk about paying low people the lowest of wages. I don't want to promote the county on that basis. We haven't. We've never promoted it on that basis. So we are setting minimum wage right now. Let's not forget that. This board adopted those standards of minimum wage, $15 an hour, if you want to qualify for that high impact fund.
Anybody else?
We've already voted.
It's been voted. And we'll move on to the next item. Okay. The next item is item 8, resolution from Supervisor Goble to place an advisory referendum on the November 2014 ballot on raising the state minimum wage to $10.10 per hour. The maker of the motion who's sitting here tonight wish to speak on it.
I am giving you some information on the minimum wage. The fact is 70% of the population believes the minimum wage should be raised. What they say is 36% say $10.10 an hour. Some say more, some say less. My argument is, let's let the people of Kenosha decide. Let our voters decide. Right now, minimum wage workers have to work 79 hours a week to pay rent on a two-bedroom unit at fair market value. The average age of a worker at McDonald's is 27 years old. 10.10 does not solve the problem. The living wage is 12 and a quarter. At 10.10 an hour, though, you will see the food stamps. They'll start losing some of their food stamps. As it progresses, you know, they come off of food stamps. Wisconsin has a bill, Assembly Bill 686, which did not even get a hearing, raises the minimum wage and standards to $10.10 an hour. My whole argument is, let the voters decide. Why should 7 people in this room or 23 people on the county board decide? Let the people of Kenosha decide if we think Wisconsin should raise the minimum wage. We'll put it on the ballot. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else wishing to speak? Supervisor Ritzloff.
I would have less of a problem with that one because I'm not necessarily against minimum wages. I think this would be a better one than the last one because the last one is different. That we're asking, we're talking about the state legislature saying, let Kenosha do this. This one's better because it lets the voters. That's something that we could do. So I think that one is better than the prior one.
Vice Chair Bruning.
I think both resolutions kind of go hand in hand. We're asking the state to allow the county to set their minimum wage, and then we're asking the people of the county to put it on the referendum to do this.
Okay. Anybody else wishing to speak? Call for a vote. Youth and governance, how would you vote on this?
Yes.
Yes. Supervisor Noble?
Yes.
Supervisor Rose?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bruning?
Yes.
Supervisor Alderman?
Yes.
Supervisor Hallman?
Yes.
Chair McVicky votes yes. Passes unanimously. Okay, we'll move on to item number 9, committee chair's update on committee activities. So we'll start out with Supervisor Noble. Can you give me a little update, please? Forgive us an update, excuse me. I'm not alone here.
We have a meeting tomorrow night. I really don't have anything to update that I didn't update. You know, I updated the entire county board, which
okay.
I don't have anything to
That's
say
fine.
Since then.
Thank you. Supervisor Rose?
All right, they're going to be in.
Well, hold on a sec. I'm sorry. Vice Chair Bruning has a question for you, Supervisor.
Mm-hmm. Supervisor Doble, I understood that the Tuesday meeting was going to be switched to 5 o'clock to allow the youth to join you.
Yes, but Supervisor Decker had a conflict, as it turned out, so we are still at noon until we can find a better time.
Okay.
She had we were going to go to 5 o'clock on Tuesday night,
yeah.
And after she agreed to it, then she realized that she has a school board meeting that she attends, so she can't make that night.
So you're looking at a different night then prior to that meeting?
I don't know. Well, we haven't really talked about it. Right now we're at noon lunch.
Yeah. Okay.
12 o'clock. We thought that we could leave it like that for the summer because they're going to be off during the summer, and then see if we can find a time that would work.
Wait, you're on that committee too then, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we had it today.
Now,
you weren't there.
I can't make.
Now he won't be able to make the meeting.
I have a commitment at noon, the second Tuesday of every month.
Oh.
5 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I'm flexible, but noon to 1 is screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll work it out.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Supervisor Rose, update?
There are a number of financial issues that I think are going to come before the county board very soon. And you may want to attend the next meeting to at least deal with one. Annually, we at this time consider a levy objective increase, decrease, or 0%, whatever we make that decision. But there will be a proposal before the committee, as there has been in the past. To give some direction, a sense of the board as to what the executive and the administration should do with the as far as the levy objective goes. Do you want an increase? Do you want it to remain as it was in the past year? Do you want a decrease? Those are the three possibilities. We'll have a proposal for discussion before the committee on Thursday. We may even vote on it on Thursday if the committee so chooses. We have a resolution before the board, before the committee. So if you want to come, I would encourage you to do that. There's some other issues bonding that have impact on the county board budgets. You know, one of the things that the chairman and I learned today that does have certainly a very big impact is outside of operations, which we're always focused on in our annual budget, is interest that we have to pay on this borrowed money. And you're going to see that in the discussion on Thursday on our levy objective, that interest, depending on some factors that we don't know today, could increase the budget by anywhere from 1% to a point and a half or so. So when you're talking about, let's say, a 2% increase, at least 1% and maybe slightly more than that is already committed to bondholders for your bonds that you've already authorized. So that limits you And even if you authorize a levy objective of 2% or 2.5%, you're really making a direction to the executive to make cuts. And another thing that you have to keep in mind here is that while we talk a lot about growth in the community and we can point to some real big wins that we all know of, the equalized value in this county is going down. And you say to yourself, well, how can that be? Well, most of those, I think almost all of them, are within a TIF district that's not counted within that equalized value. So what you're really looking at is where are the values in the city of Kenosha? And they are dragging things down because we're not making progress in the city of Kenosha. Prices for real estate have declined dramatically, and the ability of people to pay is dramatically down. So, you know, what will that mean in the state budget? We'll have to wait and see. But those are the kinds of big policy financial issues that are coming before the committee, which will have a lot to do with what we in the county can or can't do. And at least as long as we have had that levy objective, we have had it, I think, from a low of 0%, hold the line, to a high of, I think one year we had perhaps 3%, but I would have to double check that. It was either 2.5% or 3%.
Well, 3, I think.
Never above that. And the reason we had that resolution, and I strongly support it, is because in prior years when we did not give the executive direction, we had some very high increases, levy-wise, 5%, 7%. I think we may have even hit 8% in some years. So I would urge you to come to that meeting if you're concerned about these kinds of financial issues this Thursday, 6:30.
Vice Chair Bruning, do you have anything you'd like to add to that? Supervisor Altman?
Well, I think that we're in the season here now actually, everybody thought the season was a snowplowing, but you know, now is where we're repairing all these roads and we're finding out just how much damage we had this past winter. Damage that was from frost, damage that was from the weather, but also from us plowing and tearing things. I mean, this is rough on everything. So we have the normal amount of miles, paving has started, repairs to the roads, repairs to the equipment. It's going to be an expensive off season. We're going to find, Terry talks about, an interesting, but we're going to find an added expense for replenishing our supplies and things with public works, with facilities. We're sitting in one of the major problems right now. This is $2.4 million, I believe, that's ongoing. You can see when you cross the moat. That is for the repairs for water. Besides all in, there was guys in the rain tuck pointing out here, popping bricks. So this is the major project for facilities besides some HVAC items and things. You get involved with the parks and the golf. I always know how my season's going. That's how the golf courses are going, and we're struggling with being consistent, and that's what they are. You know, I'll get 4 good days, and then we'll miss 2 with rain. This rain, you know, and if I'll have a crew working on our golf course, there's going to be nobody on if it's raining. On a good weekend with sunny weather, we do wonderfully. If you have one Sunday morning, first thing I'm thinking is cold, it's damp. Sunday afternoon, it got nice, but we missed that morning. People just aren't going to the golf course. So if we have both golf courses not doing well on a weekend, we're talking a $35,000 to a $50,000 swing with nice weather. And guys, if he's wondering, am I going to spend that $40 and it's going to be, you know, bad. So golf courses, I'm sure right now, because they have done a phenomenal cost saving job. I'm sure they're holding their own, but I mean, we're not going gangbusters right now. So that's an early report on them.
Could you refresh my memory on the miles of road we're going to be doing? And was it 12 or 14 miles? Or
13 points, something.
Yeah, I knew it was somewhere in there.
We used to do 17. You know, it's
gone
down and down and down. Right.
Thank you for that report. Supervisor Hallman, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of things. Mr. Bartz, who's our job center manager, has been working with Wandy Mazio, who's our regional economic development analyst with the State Department of Workforce Development, and has been working on some digital mapping projects showing jobs gains and losses in Kenosha County, showing where new developments are occurring. There's also some statistical data that matches up with the, I want to say the U.S., I'll call it the U.S. Labor Code Classification System, basically giving us an idea, both with those that have already located and are existing and those that are soon to locate and open their doors, where we can expect increases in certain occupations. And so he's made some of that available ahead of, I think, what, tomorrow's presentation, which will be given to the Tri-County Workforce Development Board. It would be really great if we could get Wandy here, because she does a lot of things that our folks in-house don't do. I know we heard from her once last year, brought her in, and it was kind of fantastic, at least I thought so. But it'd be great to get her again, because she can talk about really what effect some of the companies that we're working with through CABA to come here are actually doing and what that picture looks like and how that affects other things. It'd be great to have her. Juvenile justice report was given last week, Wednesday, I believe. If I recall correctly, we're still the only county that does that. There is a need, and this is just going off the top of my head without notes, there is a need for more sites for juveniles to do restitution. So, you know, something happens, they go to court, the judge says, you know, this is how you're going to pay your debt to society, in a sense, and they send them someplace to paint barns or something. I don't know exactly. Mow grass. I don't know. Maybe Supervisor Rose can speak to what happens there. But there is a need for more work sites for youth. If you want to, you don't have to. Beyond that, on the mental health front, we are losing the only two psychiatrists that we have in Kenosha County. They are retiring. We have other mental health services available. However, those are not folks that will actually prescribe psychotropic meds. So, and we have some issues with folks who do need those meds, who don't necessarily have a lot of money and getting access to care. So needless to say, we have quite a few folks right now walking around off meds for one reason or another. And I'm not quite sure how we're going to address that, but it's something that we definitely need to do before the end of summer. Outside of the human services stuff, this is just a note. Our Kenosha-Racine County Mortgage Foreclosure Mediation Program is changing. It is getting ready to be taken over officially by, I think, the end of summer, by Marquette. They received some money, if I recall correctly, from the state of Wisconsin, from the Attorney General, to go and set up mortgage foreclosure mediation programs in every single county. They did that, and then the state said, great, you can take this over and do it for the counties. So they'll be doing that now at no cost to us. The good news is that people will still be able to make use of that. The bad news is it will not be provided by your local government. So in terms of being perceived as a useful body, there's an appendage that we're losing. There are new rules from the newly created Consumer Protection Financial Bureau at the federal level to help folks fight and save their homes. I still have to get the full update on that. When I get it, I'll give it to the full board. But that's what's going on over there.
Thank you. On to item number 10, any other business? I just want to quickly say thank you for spending your evening here tonight, vetting through the process, and appreciate that. Anybody, any board member comments? Get a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Supervisor Noble, seconded by Vice Chair Bruning. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for this. This is great. I wish I had a 8 o'clock.